Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your fine success with 103.7 to B.
Well, Coach, we had a beautiful summer, but I think it's all in the rearview mirror now. Today is the first day of fall, and the temperatures are dropping.
Yes, sir. It's that time. It's nightcap. It's 21st, and we know it's a pre-recorded show, so the moon and the sun are in alignment for the equinox. The fall equinox is here. Yeah. So now the days will be darker and shorter, but the time for the day going to be long because daylight savings is coming.
Yeah.
But also, you're going to have colder because the sun is the only way you're going to warm you up. So when the sun is gone, it's going to get, it's right at 50 at night. It's about to hit 40 at night.
Better swap out their wardrobe.
Yep.
Get them sweaters out.
Yeah, I got them in the
car. You got to get rid of the polos and the shorts and the flip-flops, baby. It's Michigan.
Yeah, the time is coming. So, speaking of time is coming, the Big Reds played Zealand West last week.
East. We got East. West this week.
Okay. Yeah, I always get them mixed up. So, East, they end up beating. They hung with them in the beginning. It was, they started going both and below for at first.
Yeah, they was a scrappy squad, you know. They made some mistakes along the way, and we made them pay for it. But, the team has not won a football game. And we put it away late. But the real test is Friday to find out. You know, we're kind of the midway point of the season, regular season. And I think it's going to tell us where we're at as a program. There's a few more games, you know, we'll be into playoffs in October. So we got another month and then a playoff start. So this week to me is going to be a key indicator as to what we can expect going into the second season, long run or a quick out.
Yep. And I was telling somebody this a couple years ago. I said, oh, Muskegon killing this conference. They're going to kill this. They told me, they was like, look, the way the Muskegon playing football, the competition going to get better.
They are, and they have gotten better.
They're going to get better, and that's what we want in our whole community.
Yeah, yeah.
We need that, so then we get it, we produce a champion and say, what conference they from? Oh, they got some heavy hitters. So it's getting to the point where it's getting better, because I know Reese Puffer and Union played.
Yeah.
And it looked like Reese Puffer did a little sham job on Union, but I ain't going to say nothing. You know?
It was an overtime game, right? Yeah, so that tells you right there, it was a close game.
Yep. So I heard some things happen, but hey, things happen. So life happens too to everybody. But it's doing something to this whole community where the stands was filled at Reese Puffer.
Yeah, you can't look past Union anymore, right? Nope, it used to be a game you'd make other plans for.
Quarterback awesome in the Union too. So they're looking good. We got a conference that's panning out pretty good to a decent team.
Yeah, yeah. The coach is a disciple of Tony Anise. Don Fellows. Coached here at Muskegon when Tony Anise came over.
Okay.
And he left and went to Mona Shores for a short stint. But things didn't work out. Went to Grand Rapids Christian.
Oh, I remember,
that program around.
Yep, he did.
And then things didn't work out there, and he went to Union. And that program has turned around. So it used to be the doormat, right? Anybody play Union, you can expect to put 60, 70 points on the scoreboard. But they can't look past them anymore.
Like somebody else have found their place in the community.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's more of a demographical match with Muskegon.
Yes, it is.
So he kind of fits with that mold because, like I say, he came over here with Tony, won multiple championships. So he knows what it takes to build a solid program.
Yep. So that's kudos to him. And like you said, when you found out that coaching tree, it's like Popovich when it comes to Anise. Hey, we'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, we'll take it. We'll take it. Anything to make everything better. And it's games that's worthwhile to watch. So I appreciate it. But speaking of games worthwhile to watch, still staying on football, I mean, college level, Michigan State got ran through, and Michigan ran through Connecticut. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, their coach is an ex NFL coach, Jim Mora.
Connecticut is?
Yeah.
Man, he got showed the dirt mat.
Yeah, he said he had not seen a team like that in all of his days in college football. So the jury is still out, in my opinion, on the Big Ten, right? Everybody kind of see what Ohio State has, but after watching that Notre Dame game, I have my doubts about if Ohio State is as good as advertised.
Yeah.
So the Big Ten, to me, is wide open.
Yeah, it is wide open. Yeah.
Penn State looks good. Minnesota looks good. Wisconsin is always competitive. So, you know, we're getting ready to find out what we're made now. We're going to pick up the Big Ten schedule. Now it gets fun.
Yeah. Now it gets fun. And then in the field, the Lions pulled it off.
Lions got to win. They 1-1, 500.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. And then, yeah, that's, I mean, that's locally for a great space to say our local teams and college teams, and we're in those spaces. But, I mean, man, it's, when you look at it, and then we got your boy that's for plays for the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, still ain't got no contract.
Lamar,
they just threw a game away, too, though. They was up like 30, 20-something to.
Right, but he put the points up on the board, right?
He played phenomenal. Defense,
they had
their
enough
job.
Points to win the ball game, and if the defense can't, you know, get back and cover some of these wide receivers, not his fault.
It's not his fault.
Because he has the record now for the most 100-yard games by a
11.
Quarterback.
Yeah, 11. He beat out Michael Vick.
So the price is steady going up for the folks in Baltimore when it comes time to pay him next year.
Yep.
So they should have paid him this year because it might double after because there's another interesting phenomenon that's taking place in college, in pro football. People may not be aware of it. Jeff Bezos is now involved in the NFL.
Yeah, Amazon is hosting games now.
Amazon purchased Thursday Night Football.
Wow.
And you can only watch it if you got
Prime. I got Prime, so I watched the game.
So last week, which is the first game, he's in the box with Roger Goodell.
I saw that.
Okay. And trust me, this is only the beginning.
Because you know what? They got endless money now.
Oh, endless money. He paid $1 billion for one game, for a Thursday night game, right? NBC, CBS, ABC, ESPN, they all ponied up with the NFL. That's why these contracts you see now with these quarterbacks getting these $150 million contracts, that's all that revenue
TV money.
TV money.
So then now Amazon come with deeper pockets.
This money was not even accounted for, right? At the last CBA agreement with the players as well as the owners meeting.
So Lamar Jackson about to get paid.
Thank you
very
much.
He might be the first $400 million man.
There you go.
He knew coming in.
Yep.
He's like, I don't want no
franchise tag.
Yeah,
and
all
that.
Give me unlimited money.
Guaranteed, though. He want one like our boy in Cleveland got.
Yep.
You know, most of these guys get these contracts, and, you know, they have moved the needle on guaranteed money.
But it's not a lot.
It's not like the
million,
NBA.
20. It's not like 150 or 200 out of the 250 guaranteed. So this is going to be, that's what you call being an economic savvy citizen.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson saying, hold on, let me just play this last year rookie contract out.
And you know, he is his own agent, right? He does not have an agent.
So he's got a lawyer.
He's his own agent. He don't have a lawyer. He's negotiating this contract on his own.
He's one of the best. Heisman winner. He know what he's doing.
Yep, and he told him, you know, it's got to get settled before the first game because I'm not going to be negotiating during the season. And the Ravens walked away. And he said, okay, I'm good with that. I'm going to play, though. I'm going to still honor my contract that I got with you guys. And the price is going up.
Yeah, they probably
have a great season like he did. He's adding.
Yeah, he's having some amazing numbers. It's fun to watch him.
Betting on himself, right?
Yeah, and I guarantee it's players out there playing against him that want him to do good.
Oh, absolutely.
They want him, like, hold up, don't hurt him now. Hit him,
he
don't
get
hurt
paid.
Him. That's right.
We all get paid.
Yeah, don't hit him. Just tackle him now. Don't hurt him. Because he's showing out.
Yeah, because it was like an 80-yard run last Sunday.
Yeah.
He broke through the middle, dog. He was rolling.
Yep, they're like, wait a minute. If I can't hit him like the right way, I ain't finna touch him. He's making all us get paid.
Yeah.
He about to change the game.
So,
you got to respect that. You got to respect that. Man, speaking of respect, we at Supersize, they just made sure that they did the Supersize rate hikes for the another 3/4 of a percent.
Yep.
That's three times in a year, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And they're not done, man. It's So every quarter.
Yes,
so
sir.
This was September.
Every 3 months, yep.
Yep. So the next one will be October, November, December, possibly December, January. There'll be another rate hike. Only because.
Black Friday.
Yeah.
Woo. The American dollar. But I'm going to say this, Tony. The American dollar is stronger.
Throughout the world.
Throughout the world.
It is. It's gotten stronger.
But what does that do when the American dollar is strong? Because it said last year about this time, not last year, but when it first started the rate hikes, it got to the point where the American dollar and the euro was the same. That,
yeah.
That probably, not in my lifetime, that's never happened.
Right. Well, you know, American currency has always been the preferred currency in the world. But what it says, though, it's going to cost, goods and services going to cost more.
That's premium.
Okay. It's going to cost more. So, you know, and there are currency traders, right? There are guys out there that basically trade currency and make a living at it. It's very volatile, but they do. They trade currency. And with the strong U.S. dollar, that means that the goods and services in the United States is going to cost more for other countries to do business with us. But that's just a fact of life. So, you know, like a peso, the Canadian dollar is still tied to the Queen of England. And you can look, you can go to a website and you can look at the conversion rates of all the currency in the world. And I can remember, you may well remember this too. If you go to Canada,
yeah,
you
I
take
do
$100
bill, back in the day.
They would give you like $125 back in Canadian money.
Yep.
Because it made it easier for me to buy the goods while I'm in Canada if I'm using their currency versus using American dollars. Because what they would do, you know, they would sell it to you at whatever that price is in American dollars, and they would be making a profit on just using American dollars. Because when they go to the bank to convert it, they get that extra 25% premium for the American dollar. So it's good in a lot of respects that the dollar is strong, but it also says that, you know, countries that do deal with us may be paying more for those goods that they purchase from America. But along with that, you know, like I said, the rate hike is the highest since 2008, all right?
Yes.
2008 is the last time they've seen these kinds of numbers. And we know what 2008 is famous for. That's when the bubble burst on the dot-coms and crashed the market. So, 30-year, 6.25. Watching the Bankers of America today testify in Congress. Some of the questions were asked about these 30-year mortgages, which at one time, you know, were very affordable. But with the appreciation of the housing market, and now you factor in the increase in the interest rates, what people would normally pay on a 30-year note may be unattainable. So the banking industry is talking about going to a 50-year mortgage. Think about it. It will spread out them payments over another 20 years, would probably drop your house payment $1,000 a month. So now it is going to make that $400,000 home or $200,000 home more attractive.
Yeah, it is. That'll make me buy one.
Yeah.
Make 50, you're like, John, why would you get a 50-year mortgage? It's better than getting a prime mortgage.
Yeah, or the ARM, right?
You or
get
the
5-year ARM.
If I know I got 50 years, what's the game plan I can play in the 50? Right?
Yeah, and you know that.
What's
also,
the happen chance that I come in an extra $50,000?
Yep, then you double up your payments because they're a lot lower.
That's right.
And knock it down when you know when money is available. But I did mine. I started out at a 30, and I looked at the numbers and I said, no, I'm going to refinance it, and they were still getting you like 2% interest, and put it on a 15-year.
And you gave the same payment almost.
Basically the same payment. Just $100, a couple hundred dollars more a month. But it worked out because the house is paid off, and that's out. You know, it's out of the way.
That's your bank account now. You got another bank account.
But at that time, and this was like 2013, things were a lot different. Okay, depreciation of the housing market was nothing like we just went through. Interest rates were fantastic, so I had the right mix in which to do that. But I'm gonna be honest, man. I would hate to be trying to find a house today in today's market with the interest rates. I seen a house, guy came in for some insurance. The house was not even a 1,000 square foot home. 2-bedroom, East Larch area, $100,000. That back in the day was considered a starter home.
That was $60,000.
Yeah, at best. At best. You know, 15, 20 years ago, that house would be valued at 40 grand.
40 grand.
And maybe less. But that's a starter home. And that's what the, you know, the young people today, that's what they're looking at, man.
When they can't afford it. They can't. The millennials like, hold up, I ain't got that nest egg like the baby boomers. I don't got that.
Yeah, I'm going to have that 10% down.
Yeah.
So if it's $100,000, 10% down, that's 10 grand. Okay? And in today's market, with everything costing like it is, man, it's like every time I go to the store, I just be amazed at what I've purchased and what it costs me.
I got to go to the grocery store today. Like,
I just shake my head, man.
God. We just eat fish. So I'm looking at fish, fruits, some vegetables, probably some yogurt.
You're going to pay. You're still going to pay a premium.
And my thing is, I'm like, my number is $100. I'm going to come out, whatever I can get for $100, for fish, fruit, veggies, that's what I'm spending for two people.
Give you an example. Walmart has this Italian loaf of Italian bread.
Yes, I've had it before. Right? It's good.
Like that. It's always a dollar. $1 a loaf of bread, man. It's $1.47 now. So that's like a 50% increase.
But then I'm going to tell you, it's an ingredient that go in it that's come from Ukraine.
It's flour.
Yep. Yeah. Ukraine holding that cash crop.
Well, the Russians were.
Yeah, the Russians were.
Weren't allowing to come through the Black Sea.
They weren't letting them come. So so now they figuring out how do we supplement that in bread?
It's about supply and demand. So, you might as well call it $1.50. So if it was a dollar and it goes up 50%, that's a 50% increase in bread. You know, bread has always been a commodity that we thought was very affordable.
Yeah.
But look at the price of bread today, and it's a whole lot different than what it was when we were growing up, man.
I seen some for some bleach. It was $8.
Yeah, now that's another bleach.
My socks going to be dirty around in school. My kids, you're going to get black socks, black drawers, black underwear. Because it's over.
Yeah.
We ain't bleaching nothing no more. $8 a gallon?
For bleach, man.
That's more than gas.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question. So for an investor, like, okay, somebody coming into the stock market, they due diligence, they 10% of their income in the stock market. And the dollar, American dollar being stronger, but, we got all this volatility in the market. How does that still possibly benefit the pros and cons of what's going on with the rate hike right now?
Man, you, as an investor, unless you're one of those guys that manage these institutional type of funds.
Hedge funds going to feel it too, right?
Oh, man, everybody getting killed. Even, bond markets were always kind of a safe haven, but they've even taken a nasty fall. Just to be honest, man, the thing that investors should look at now, if they got that money, is in the green energy, right?
Yes, sir.
That's the one area that there's going to be growth in, only because of the money that the federal government has mandated to be used for that. Gas prices is going to make, we're going to see a dip in gas prices, but then we're going to see another sharp increase in gas prices probably during the winter. And a lot of it has to do with the thinking of the OPEC members. They understand this push in the world for clean energy. And at some point in time, the gasoline diesel engine is going to become obsolete 20 years from now.
I see Chrysler trying to get their last couple things in. They done brought out 7 editions of the Hemis.
Right.
They done just brought the 300 back with the Hemi.
Okay.
Ford trying to slay the Stangs as best as they can. They're trying to slay everything with gas. But I'm also noticing here, because I drive a bigger SUV, and I just drive it. It's old school, but it's a Tahoe. And I'm like, well, if I get a 2017, I'm just looking at numbers, right? And I remember when during the pandemic, they was up in their 40s, but with high miles, right? So now I'm starting to see prices drop 25, 22. I'm like, hold up, that's a 17. $22,000, they starting to drop on the vehicles too. So I'm looking, I was thinking about getting another ride, but I'm like, nah, that's too much. And I'm looking at the numbers, Tony, I'm like, or is it because of the combustible engine? They like, hold up, these trucks, this is like a different truck in a minute. This ain't gonna be nothing.
You're absolutely right. And, this whole economic world is starting to change simply because there's so many moving parts that's taking place, and these auto producers is trying to position themselves in order to get the best of both worlds.
But think about this. So like, okay, I go to school, I'm working with combustible engines, and all of a sudden they bring the EV in. I like the EV Silverado. I like the Hummer. I've seen them. That EV Silverado is something special.
Yeah.
That look nice.
Waiting list for that big boy.
Yeah, it's a big boy, but then you're like, hold on, that run on electric?
Yeah.
So like you like, oh, I'm riding big, but I'm not killing the economy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that carbon footprint, yeah.
So I look at that and I say to myself, like, all right, somebody go to school to be an engineer on combustible engines. That's almost like a technology that's going to disappear.
Yeah, eventually. Not anytime soon. But if you really want to be on a cutting edge, you want to go to school and learn the craft of repairing these electric vehicles. Okay? For the simple reason is that right now, the only people that probably have that technology are the makers, right, where they bring in technicians that come from their dealerships to train those individuals. But if you drive through your community, you'll see other auto repair shops in the area, right? And those people, in order to get a piece of that, gonna have to have the technology and the skill to be able to do those repairs for people that
don't go to the dealership.
Don't go to the dealership.
I'm one of them people. I don't go to the dealership. Yeah. I go to the the person, not the shade tree, but I go to the guy that I know in the community,
the skill
that's got set. The mom and pop one, that's licensed, that can get me in and get me out. Well, I don't got to go through this corporate door and say, hey, man, what is it? You're like, oh, I got the same equipment they got. If they don't know, I know. So
yep.
It's like basically just being having a more personal relationship in a capacity where you help out small business owners. But then just looking at it like, oh, are they trying to bring the market where it's like, no, get away from the small business owners and get back to the dealership?
Well, eventually, starting out, it'll be that way, okay? Because right now, you know, imagine if you own a Tesla, I'm pretty sure there's probably nobody in the Muskegon area that can repair a Tesla. So, you got to go to Grand Rapids.
Got to go to Grand Rapids to get your car fixed.
Okay, so, but again, that's in the future, but it is coming. Don't think it's not. Okay, there'll be still a percentage of those that own gasoline powered vehicles, but just like, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago about California, right? What was the mandate in the state of California? 230.
Get ready to tailpipe. Better not be no tailpipe on no car.
2035, they won't even be able to sell a gasoline vehicle in California. There are going to be still people that own them, right?
Yeah.
But they won't be selling those. So, you know, just through a matter of time, eventually, it'll be all electric powered vehicles in the state of California. And a lot of other states are going to follow suit.
So then what's the hookup on a house then? So like somebody buying a house, you can't buy a house with old infrastructure to heat, to charge an electric car?
Well, again, that's part of the green energy.
You asking for a house fire. You trying to charge your car every day like you charge a cell phone?
Yes.
You're going to blow your house up.
Well, no, it's going to be a separate charging unit that'll be separate from your house.
Okay.
Okay. But again, it'll be the install. You got to install it. You got to maintain it. The other thing is that, you know, the solar panels, if you go to California, you go to Arizona, it's almost the norm. You're starting to see it here. There's always incentives for people to get the solar panels.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to sell them at one upon a time. It was like the market wasn't too strong for it just yet.
But it's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming, man. So it was, I don't watch much TV shows. But by having to be in the room where my wife was watching a TV show last night, the one that Cedric the Entertainer on.
Okay.
And
you know, I don't watch TV either, Tony, so you.
The guy, his neighbor had just had his solar panels installed.
Okay.
And that night, there was a power outage in their community. And he was the only guy on the block that had electricity because
he was off the grid.
He was off the grid.
Mm.
He had solar panels in his house, and, you know, it just showed kind of like, you know, this could potentially be what the future looks like, where all the people in the community came to his house to charge their cell phones and everything else. So,
wow.
It was kind of a, you know, it's a comedy show, but it kind of touched on that aspect of where we're headed as a world and an economy.
Especially with the monopoly that consumers and DTE, which are they great organizations that they have on the strong arm that they have on the monopoly of energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you drive through, and I think we got them here too, but if there's just north of Indianapolis and you're driving down, I think it's 65, there's a windmill farm.
Yeah, we got them up in Ludington.
Are they up in Ludington?
Man, they huge.
I mean, as far as you can see,
I seen the one
man.
In Indiana's, yes. It's not as large as the one in Indiana, but Ludington has some. They're huge.
The windmill farm?
Yeah, and they're nice to see. Nice
yeah,
to see.
I don't, you know, a lot of people talk about the aesthetics of the landscape is taken away when you set those out there. And they even talked about sending them out in Lake Michigan.
Yeah, I think.
Whether that's viable or not, I don't know.
They stopped that. Trump was trying to push for that. He was pushing for that. It was like, no, that's going to mess with the environment.
Okay, then.
Yeah, they snatched that away. So, yeah, but you right. When you're looking at all these spaces and this inflation push and this rate hike, it's like, hold on, things are moving too quick.
Yes, it is, man. The economy is moving fast.
Yeah, we got to figure out how to slow it down. Things are moving too quick. But another thing that's moving too quick, the home price correction is spreading. So it's like, I'm going to read this to you. Pressurized. That might be the best word to describe the current U.S. housing market. Record home price appreciation was up 43% during the pandemic.
Wow.
Right?
43%. That's huge.
Now, listen. Coupled with 6% mortgage rates is sidelining millions of potential buyers. The combination puts debt-to-income ratios for new home buyers on par with levels hit during the peak of the housing bubble. So, we're going back to 2008.
Yep.
Because we got this equation. And we got this algorithm of it's a problem.
Yep.
It's a major problem. When you're trying to buy a house that's 43% up in cost and they have not made any renovations.
No.
It's like they just lived in it and said, hey, man, take this with this 1960 setup still inside of it.
Yeah.
And it's 40% more. I haven't made no updates. I just had this crib on the side and I was renting it out or my grandmama and them gave it to me. It's worth 40% more.
Yeah. Just like that overnight.
That's not good.
It's not. Nope. And like I said, these interest rates, the purpose of them is to drive those prices down. Inflation, because that's part of inflation, right?
Yes.
Increasing the price of goods and services. That's what a home is. There's nothing more but a. But like you're saying here, we're definitely going to see a decline in the price of these homes that they have on the market. These builders are going to have an inventory, right? They call them spec homes. That means that they're building these homes on the speculation of purchasing versus a guy that's already paid for it, bank financed it, a whole nine yards.
Mm.
So, the Fed is, this is what it's designed to do, is to slow the economy. And you just hope they don't overshoot it to the point where we start to see mass layoffs in factories and other industries. But we're seeing it in the financial market right now.
The lending companies are letting people go.
Yep.
So it's happening. Some of the factories, foundries are too, because they're saying we're getting ready to change the technology over to the chip building and other things. So it's rough. But I got one more, Tony, on the U.S. And this reminds me of your boy Brett Favre. The U.S. attorney announces federal charges against 47 defendants in the $250 million Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. So nonprofit Feeding Our Future and 200 plus meals in Minnesota perpetrated the largest COVID-19 fraud scheme in the nation.
Wow.
So basically they moved some stipulations out when it was like how we did with the STEMIs.
Yeah, the auditing process.
Yeah, so like get the money out to them, get the PPP loans. All right, don't worry about all that stipulation. Get the money out to the citizens, they need the money. So what happened? As when they didn't follow the right process and the government leveled them to be able to do that because of COVID, they saw an opportunity to steal $250 million. So on the books, they say they fed so many people a record. They fed a record group of children.
Okay.
They actually didn't. They bought nice cars, boats, homes, lined their pockets up, went on trips.
Right.
And said, we good. Here go the budget. Here go the spreadsheet. These are all the kids that got fed.
Uh-huh.
And guess what?
He got caught.
The IRS didn't hire so many more people.
Oh, yeah. And the army of agents.
They like, hold up, who's this? What's this? Well, show me where you fed them at. And then nobody fed nothing. I mean, exorbitant administration fees, surcharges on a we did this, we paid, we fed them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pushing it through, getting the money to somebody in that space, but probably doubling back, like give it back, and you keep a portion.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah, that happens. And, you know, on that same note, we always kind of talk about what the casinos do in the state of Michigan.
Yes.
And gross receipts were up 34.2% in the casinos in Detroit.
They still going to casino on this.
$155 million for the month of August. So although the economy seems to be in turmoil and shaky ground, people are still headed to the casinos and betting on sports and gambling.
I would say I got a buddy. He been doing this. He been gambling forever since he was probably 19, right? And I'm talking to him yesterday about it. He's like, yeah. I said, I don't be gambling. I said, how y'all be doing that? He said, man, your phone, you can bet on the games, you can bet on this, and you think you know. And then he say, see, sometimes you know how your woman be tripping, you just want to go somewhere. I say, man, I go to the beach, I go jog, or I go do something for myself. He say, no, I'm going to the casino, and I'm do some blackjack or play some dice, and I'm putting it all on black. And sometimes I win, most times I lose. But he say, when I need it, I win. I say, so you basically just put it in the bank account and hope you can get it back.
He's one of few.
Yeah.
Do that.
He said the shiny lights and the cold air and the good smelling food and it's just a nice environment. It draws you. And he's okay. And he said, I'm going to tell you this. That's why Muskegee don't have a casino, because y'all city will be towed down. Y'all not ready for it.
He said.
Yeah, that's what he said. So, but yeah, Tony, that's our show today. We're in that space. They done raised the rates one more time, raising the roof.
And they're not done.
Yep. So I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.